Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station we're listening to, or you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Now, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Vladimir Bukovsky, and he spent many years in prison in Russia. He was eventually ransomed out. They exchanged a Chinese communist for him. Then anyway, he was able to get out, move to Europe, and then he moved to England, where he lives today. And of course, Mr. Bukovsky is very well aware of the tender mercies of communism, having lived under communism in Russia, having been in their prisons. And of course, he sees in what's happening to Europe the loss of all freedom. He's written a wonderful book along with a young man who, of course, is in Moscow and has had the opportunity to go through the Soviet files and the conversations of Gorbachev with, of course, key leaders from the West, and that goes into the fact of what the members of the Trilateral Commission told Gorbachev's very, very close associates, and what the various leaders of France and the leaders of the European Union, their conversations with Gorbachev. And it's a 40-page book, but it's got information you'll never get any other place. Gives you fascinating insight into the fact that the whole idea will be eventually, of course, to establish a totalitarian state in Europe, just as exactly as they intend to establish the totalitarian state here in the Western Hemisphere. You see, the important thing about our form of government was that it was decentralized. It's very easily, when all power has been centralized, to take it over and establish a dictatorship. That's what Adolf Hitler did. That's what Benito Mussolini did. And that's what they're doing in Europe. Rather than decentralized individual states, hard to take them all over, centralize all power in Brussels. Why you have a tyranny. And that, of course, is why the founding fathers of America feared an all-powerful Washington, D.C., which is exactly, of course, what the people who run America want. And they work in conjunction with the Trilateral Commission, and there's a great deal in this book about the Trilateral Commission and their leaders' conversations with the leaders of the Soviet Union. Mr. Bukovsky, thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, hello.
Hello. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
All right, fine. Well, tell our listeners just a little bit about your concern as England and all of Europe is moving rapidly to what you call the USSR. And that, of course, will be the totalitarian, a socialist system that will replace freedom in Europe.
Yes, we are constantly kind of deceived by all these European leaders. They don't say exactly what happened. They don't say exactly what's the objective. We're all kind of inundated with propaganda, how marvelous it will be, how prosperous it will be all together. But why they suddenly decided to create a federal state out of Europe, which for thousands of years lived each country separately and so on, they never can explain to us. They would say strange things like, that will help to prevent a war. But wait a minute, we are not at war at the moment. There is no danger of any major European war. Everything is peaceful now with the end of communism in the East. There is no real threat of war in Europe.
All right, of course, but what you point out in the book is that the communists in Russia and Gorbachev has been planning this whole thing for a long period of time, and it almost did appear that the Trilateral Commission and the leaders of America have been planning it too. And the poor people of Europe and England will certainly be victims. We'll be back in just a moment with Vladimir Bukovsky, who really understands what this is about. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Vladimir Kovsky. He, of course, had been lived in under communism for many years, was arrested. He eventually was traded for a Chinese communist prisoner, was allowed then to get out of prison, moved to Europe, eventually to England. And he has been writing extensively, trying to warn the people of England and also to warn the people of America. We're moving towards a world fascist or Soviet or call it what you will, a world totalitarian system. And the average individual doesn't have any idea, and he has access to some fascinating information nobody else has. It comes out of the Soviet archives. Would you like to pick up that story, Mr. Bukovsky?
Yeah, can I make a small correction?
Oh, yes.
You keep saying that I was exchanged for Chinese communists. I was exchanged for Chilean communists.
A Chilean communist, okay. all right, for a Chilean communist.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Chilean communist was in jail in Chile under Pinochet, and I was in jail in the Soviet Union. And because of international outcry, public campaign, we were exchanged. So that's a small correction.
All right, fine. Well, thank you. No, please. We want to get it exactly right. So it was a Chilean communist. So please skip up the story of how you got this amazing information out of the Russian archives that I've never read any other place.
Yeah, well, these documents are still secret. And will be secret for God knows how long. I mean, legally, it should be secret for 30 years, but in Russia today, the archives tend to close down instead of being opened up. Even what we could see in the 1990s, 1992, 93, is now classified again. In 1992, I used to be an expert in the Constitutional Court of Russia in the case of President Yeltsin versus Communist Party. You see, Yeltsin prohibited Communist Party when he came to power in 91. And they protested against this decision in the Constitutional Court of Russia. Since the case was very close and the president was afraid he would lose the case, his assistant called me and asked me to come and help them. And my condition on participating in that was that I will have access to the secret archives. Because without that, we couldn't prove Yeltsin right, you know, and that the Communist Party was a criminal organization. So I was granted this access, and for half a year, I could look into this. Of course, it was too little of time to copy much, but I've copied as much as I could with a portable computer and a hand scanner. And that was the beginning. Then these documents, which were opened for me in 1992, were classified again, and now they're secret in Russia while I still have them in my computer.
All right, hold on. We'll be back here in just a moment with Vladimir Bukovsky. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mr. Bukovsky corrected me. He was not exchanged for a Chinese communist. It was for a Chilean communist. But anyway, fortunately, he did get out of the Soviet prison. He did, of course, eventually move to Europe and then to England. And he is trying to awaken the people who are just so they just can't think anything's bad. Communism is dead. There's nothing to worry about. And yet, of course, as you read what Gorbachev was talking about, and Mr. Bukovsky was able to get out of the Soviet archives when he was there, before they were sealed once again, because the last thing they want the American people to know is the relationship between Gorbachev and, of course, the people in the Trilateral Commission, who seem to be working very closely with some of Gorbachev's henchmen. So if you pick up the story there, Mr. Bukovsky.
Well, the idea of a European common market was a very old idea, and at that time when it was generated, the Treaty of Rome and so on and so forth in the 70s, the Soviet Union and the European left were very much against it. But then by the middle of 80s, the socialists in Europe, let them be in Moscow or in Western Europe, perceived themselves to be in crisis. Everything was going wrong. Thanks to Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan, in the leading countries, socialist system was systematically dismantled, and they found themselves under tremendous pressure to do something about it. Their biggest achievement, the welfare state, proved to be a complete disaster, and people everywhere, even unemployed, would vote for conservatives instead of voting for the socialists. So they had to do something, and the conversations they had with Gorbachev are very revealing. They explain to each other that the only way to salvage socialism, to prevent its complete collapse everywhere, is to try to impose it simultaneously in all countries of Europe. Because otherwise, if you impose socialism in France, and in Germany you don't, then Germany become competitive and you lose in competition in international business. So you cannot do that. You have to do it simultaneously in all your competitors' countries, preferably in all Europe. But at that stage, they decided to change their attitude to European project, European integration, and to hijack it in order to turn it around upside down, and instead of a free market zone, to introduce a federal state. That was their idea. All the details of their discussion I give in the booklet, which you read. And the German project was started then. Of course, they wanted to have a convergence between the Soviet bloc countries and the Western Europe, which they would reckon would enable them to stay in power forever. This is why European structures today, the European Union structures, are so remarkably similar to the Soviet structures. They were made so deliberately in order to fit into the Soviet structures when they decided to converge. That was their basic idea.
And, of course, you point out, of course, that most of the European countries are headed by socialists tied into the Socialist International, which most people don't even understand is one of the three or four most powerful organizations in the world. And you point out in the book that their goals are exactly the same as the communist goals. The only difference between them is the tactics by which we will establish this socialist state, which is really a return to feudalism under a ruling elite. But you don't mention that part of it, but certainly you point out that they have exactly the same goals. It's a matter of tactics. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, that's exactly the difference between European social democrats and communists in the East, what we call Bolsheviks and Mensheviks. They split at the beginning of 19th century exactly on the point of tactics rather than strategy, rather than the ultimate goals. The difference was that Bolsheviks, the communists, wanted everything to be done by a revolution, very quickly, very violently. And they argued any slow evolutionary path would not bring the results they desire, while the social democrats in Europe would argue that everything should be done evolutionary, slowly, piece by piece, on the stealth, so to speak, you know. And that was their difference. Once they both perceived themselves in deep crisis, they've thrown away their differences, concentrated on an ultimate goal. In one point, Gorbachev, talking to French President Mitterrand and to Spanish Prime Minister Gonzalez, quite openly says that. I mean, the differences between our different trends of socialist movement are insignificant now. We have to achieve our goal, and then we'll decide which way is better. That's what he says. So they finally, in the dark hour, when the socialism was collapsing everywhere, they decided to pull together all their forces, to make a very big alliance of all left forces in Europe, take over the European project, and turn it around to make a federal socialist state out of Europe, East and West.
And, of course, the thing is that really they would like to have the Soviet Union eventually become part of the UE down the line. Would that be a fair statement?
That's absolutely. That was one of the parts of this thing. But also, they're talking about America and probably even Japan later joining. And that's where the Trilateral Commission comes in. The remarkable document we found, 1989, beginning of the year, a Trilateral Commission delegation comes to see Gorbachev. It includes Rockefeller, Kissinger, Nakasone, and Giscard d'Estaing, who at that time was just a private individual. He was not a president of France anymore. And the main point, ostensibly, they are trying to make to Gorbachev is that he has to integrate into the world financial institutions, let them be GATT or World Bank or whatever. But suddenly Giscard d'Estaing takes the floor and he says, well, it will happen in 15 or 20 years, difficult to say exactly, but we are going to have a federal state in Europe and you have to prepare yourself for that.
And of course, the phrase that was used, a Europe that extends from the Atlantic to the Urals. Actually, I remember 40 years ago reading about how Charles de Gaulle was talking about exactly the same thing. This is long-range planning by this little group of elitists who rule the world. A federal state that exists, a Europe that goes from the Atlantic to the Urals, which will include a good deal of Russia then, won't it?
Yep, well, half of it.
Right.
Anyway, the remarkable thing is that we're talking about 1999. By that time, none of the treaties which were later introduced and ratified and whatever were even drafted. So these guys know in advance for 20 years what's going to happen. Although we are supposed to vote on it in a referendum, they know in advance what the vote will be.
And, of course, they lie about what their intentions and goals are. They got all the countries of Europe to go into the common market because it was only economic. It wasn't going to be a currency. It wasn't going to be losing sovereignty. And they lied.
Exactly. They were lying. They were denying till the last moment. Virtually till, what, 3-4 years ago, they would only try to assure us that this project does not involve any loss of sovereignty. All our prime ministers and presidents in Europe kept repeating that phrase for many years, till about 3 or 4 years ago, when it indeed transpired that the sovereignty is going to be lost.
And I think it's so difficult for people to understand that politicians, by their very nature, lie. I mean, Woodrow Wilson promised the American people we'd never get into the First World War, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt promised the American people we would never get into the Second World War, and Lyndon Johnson promised we would never go into Vietnam, and of course, our own president was very, very critical of Bill Clinton for nation building and going into Bosnia and Kosovo. But they say one thing, and then when they have the power, everything changes.
Yep. Well, I'm afraid that's why they keep secret all their negotiations. Believe it or not, all negotiations between heads of states and leading politicians are secret. Try to find what I have in Russian. Try to find a negotiation between George Bush Sr. and Gorbachev. You wouldn't find them, because they're all secret. I've just got them by a fluke, by sheer luck.
Well, I think it's so fascinating as I sat this afternoon reading, you know, the conversations and the statements by Gorbachev, and, you know, you realize what a privilege it is to have an understanding of how these people are thinking and how they were planning on so long ago of enslaving the people of Europe and eventually the people of America. And I think it's so interesting that Rockefeller and Kissinger were over there visiting with Gorbachev. Isn't it interesting that they came to him rather than him coming to us?
Yeah, well, and the conversation was actually secret. It was not supposed to be public. It was never publicized anywhere. There is nothing in newspapers about their visit and what they discussed. It was all secret. It was hush-hush.
And, of course, what a fluke it was, how fortunate it is you have this bit of history that you can share with us.
Yeah, interesting side of it. Kissinger, who spoke after Giscard d'Estaing, he actually didn't contradict it. Although he's an American, his only point was that the United States and Russia should be part of this European project.
Yeah, well,
that was the only concern he expressed, that the United States was not left out of it. He didn't object to this monstrous bureaucratic super state which is going to be emerging in 20 years in Europe. No.
And of course, Kissinger has always worked with the elite for so many years. He sacrificed, of course, any loyalty to America, but to this internationalist dream, and this is the thing, these people dream of a different world, I believe a world under the control of a ruling elite. Would that be a fair statement?
Yep. Yep. They don't want any real people's power. They want it to be controlled, manipulated, channeled into a direction they themselves figured out. They believe they're so smart and we are so stupid that we shouldn't be even told what the ultimate goal is.
This is the attitude of the elite. It reminds me of a Bill Clinton's mentor, Professor Carol Quigley, who talked about, well, the petty bourgeois who voted for Barry Goldwater, who didn't want to be controlled by government. And he referred to them as petty bourgeois. Well, I happen to be a petty bourgeois, and I believe in individual freedom, but the elite don't. They march to a different drumbeat. They dream a different dream. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Mr. Vladimir Bukovsky, who understands communism. He lived under it. He was imprisoned by it. and he's frantically trying to inform you. His book, EUSSR, we carry it. It's inexpensive. It's only 40 pages long, but packed full of information that you need to get. We'll tell you when we get back how to get that, 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, the book, EUSSR.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Vladimir Bukovsky. And, of course, we're talking about the move towards the European Union. He's written a very, very important little book. It's called EUSSR. It's only $5. But it's available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. We're going to actually manufacture this over there and then, of course, to send the royalties over to Great Britain. We just think it's so important that you actually have a chance chance to know that our leaders are going over there, they're working hand in glove with the Soviets, and of course the victims are the people of Great Britain, the people of Europe, and even if they don't want this, it is going to be thrust upon them. They'll keep having votes over and over again till they can, by one means or another, through a manipulation or even fraudulent elections, get it. And once you're in, why, there'll be no escape. And we move towards, I believe, towards a fascist Europe or a feudalistic Europe. And the average person over there really doesn't know. But there is a growing awareness in Great Britain of what's going on. There isn't, Mr. Butkovsky?
Yes, we have 65% to 70% by all opinion polls vehemently against any further integration. As you know, there is a draft constitution of Europe, of federal Europe, which is now on offer. Only 9 countries out of 25 are going to have a referendum. All others are denied even that simple act of popular approval. And only 6 out of these 9 are going to have a binding referendum. Others are going to have what they call consultative referendum. That means we vote and they ignore us.
Right, well, because that's really what it's about. They really don't care what the people want. They talk about democracy. They're not interested in what the people want. The decisions are already made at the top. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, absolutely. They already made all the decisions. If they knew it 20 years in advance, before any of these treaties were drafted, of course they all decided it in advance. We've just had yesterday a referendum in Spain on constitution, on European constitution. Now, only about 42% actually came to vote because people know it's all fixed. What's the point? And those who came were in favor. So now it's announced to us with great fanfare that people of Spain voted for European constitution. Like hell they did. The majority of them didn't even bother to go there.
Well, of course, this is the tragedy of this whole system. Of course, all of the socialists, people who are dedicated to this, the socialists are all dedicated to it. The communists are all dedicated to it. But what most people don't understand is the people with this intellectual elite, like the Trilateral Commission and their European extensions, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and similar organizations, they're dedicated to it, too. And you might ask why the people from the Trilateral Commission would be working very closely or consulting with Gorbachev, or you would think that they're supposed to be capitalists and Gorbachev is supposed to be a communist, and yet they were working together 20 years ago for this goal.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, and also, United States and Trilateral Commission is American-based organization. Why would they be so much in favor of European Union, which already proclaimed to be anti-American? I mean, the whole idea, as they present it to us, is to find, to create a counterbalance to America, because America became too powerful. Now, why would American politicians come to Russia to talk together with other socialists from Europe about creation of this counterbalance to America? Tell me.
Well, I think it has to do with something we call the dialectics. In other words, you create two opposing forces, capitalism, communism, right, left, conservative, liberal, Republicans, Democrats here in America, or in England, the Labour Party, and then, of course, the Conservative Party or the Tory Party. But it's all part of a game. And, of course, as the people are thinking they really have an opportunity, if you control both sides, why, the people have no opportunity at all, no freedom.
Yep. Well, that's all old game. I mean, to create the options, both of which are already fixed. So we feel that we select between two options, but the options are pre-selected. We don't have one option which we would like to have, namely to get out of this European Union. That is not an offer.
And I think it's really so important that you found, going through the Soviet archives, that here are people from the Trilateral Commission, the leaders of the Trilateral Commission, some of the most wealthy and powerful people in America, going over to visit good old Gorbachev there in Russia, and of course talking to him about this whole idea of uniting Europe. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. Our guest today is Mr. Vladimir Butkovsky. When we get back, we're going to welcome your calls from out across America or from across the world. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. His book is The EUSSR. And believe me, when this comes to pass, why, of course, no freedom will be left behind. No freedom will be left behind, because this is establishing a socialist dictatorship very, very similar to the one they have in Russia.
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level. And the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And we'll be back in just a moment with Mr. Vladimir Bukovsky. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Mr. Vladimir Bukovsky. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We're here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. His booklet, which we are going to be offering here, is EUSSR. That's EUSSR. And it's a fascinating insight into what really was happening 20 years ago. And the conversations with Gorbachev, it's almost sort of like being there as you read this and you understand that this information was suppressed. It was opened up for a time under Yeltsin. And then, of course, it's been sealed again. Why? Well, I think the last thing they want is for either the Russian or the American people to understand how our leaders, the leaders of the Trilateral Commission, which are, of course, the elite of the elite here, of the ruling elite, and, of course, the people like Gorbachev can work so closely together, but it should not be at all surprising, because if any of you would like, and we'll be glad to provide along when you get this, the list of people who attend Gorbachev's State of the World meetings, of course, after the Soviet Union supposedly fell, why Gorbachev came to America, and lo and behold, he sets up the State of the World Forum, and who is there? why the presidents of the United States, George Shultz, James Baker III, all of the elite in our country, many of them are actually on the board of directors of the Gorbachev Foundation, I should say the State of the World Foundation. We actually have information from the State of the World Foundation, and you'll be surprised who the people are who pay homage to this great leader, this great socialist leader, Mikhail Gorbachev. So, you know, it certainly tends to verify exactly what is being said. Well, what is happening in England? Do you think that they're going to be able to turn the vote back? And if England doesn't go into the European Union, then what?
Well, we are not offered the full referendum. We are offered the consultative referendum. You know, we're just expressing our views, and they're not binding on the government. I can imagine our Prime Minister keeps postponing this referendum in order to find a more appropriate moment. First, some countries where they are sure to win, like Spain and Portugal, are going to vote on referendum. And then under the pressure of other countries doing so and voting yes, they hope that they will manage somehow to press the public here to vote yes. Also, they're constantly using a scare tactics. They're trying to explain to us that if we don't go further on and adopt the European Constitution, become a province of European superstate, then we will suffer economically, we will lose some trade with Europe, we will do that and so on. It would be bad for us, which is total nonsense, total nonsense. At the moment, we pay to Europe £12 million a day.
£12 million a day?
Yeah. You can build a hospital a day in Britain on this money. And it's all wasted on a huge, huge bureaucracy. Can you imagine all these people working for European structures? They earn enormous amount of money. They don't pay taxes because they work for international organizations. They have lifelong immunity from prosecution. Members of European Parliament, for example, apart from their salaries and expenses on their office, receive €200,000a year for their outside activities.
Oh, that's
can you imagine? I mean, of course, this elite, so-called elite, is so keen on having these structures perpetuated, because for them, it's a paradise. It's like living in communism.
But of course, this is really what communism was. You had a ruling elite and everybody else was impoverished. And that is, of course, what's going to happen to Europe, because this system, this socialism that they want to impose, really doesn't work, does it?
No, of course it doesn't work. I mean, the socialism as a concept is about equal distribution, not about production. As long as they have something to distribute, they keep distributing. Then they run out of it. Then you have a crisis. You have international debts, you have crises, you have to press people for more taxes. Taxes are going to skyrocket, we all know that. European Commission already announced that they're going to harmonize our taxes. How do you like that? If in Sweden they pay 80% on income, and in Britain 40, so harmonizing it means that we'll be paying something like 60, I suppose.
Either that or maybe we'll be paying 82. Who knows? And the thing is, of course, that socialism is a very inefficient system. They provide for you from the cradle to the grave, but they've got to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave.
Yeah, and you are equal in misery, as we used to say in the Soviet Union. Your equality is in misery. It's not that we all become rich. No, we all become poor and therefore equal.
Well, of course, that just people of Russia really are the victims of this system that was installed back in 1917, with, of course, many of our listeners have heard me talk about Herbert Hoover's memoirs, and anybody who wants the pages from it, we'll be glad to send it to you, pointing out how we supported freedom there. We sent a great deal of aid to Russia in 1918, 1919. 97% of it went to the communists. Why would American capitalists spend all that money to the communists and none to the anti-communists, who, and of course there were many, many people who didn't want communism. It was not imposed by vote, it was imposed by through the muzzle of a gun.
Yeah, it was imposed on us, I mean, as a result of civil war. The English Bolsheviks were very ruthless. I mean, they killed, we reckon about 20 million people died all in all in the course of civil war. Some of them died of typhoid and starvation, but most were killed.
And then, of course, they had their gulag there where they could, of course, put anybody who disagreed with them. Well, you didn't even have to disagree. Somebody could just say that you disagreed or you said something, or they could just send you there for no reason at all.
Well, it's the most common thing under Stalin, for example, anyone who made a political joke, you know, something critical of the regime, just a joke, will end up in gulag for 10 years.
Well, I guess then that's why everybody looked so dour. Nobody wanted to tell a joke.
Yeah, well, I mean, jokes still survived, believe me, even though you would pay very dearly for them. But sense of humor becomes kind of stronger under these conditions, so...
Yeah, but, of course, you don't know who you can trust. Who's going to turn you into the government? That's the thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Particularly as they had a law that if you did not inform on someone telling these jokes, you are also liable to be imprisoned. So, therefore, you know, if you are present when someone tells a joke... you're already committing a crime.
Well, of course, what a terrible thing it must have been to have lived under this this tyranny. What's happening in Russia today? You know, we hear, of course, they have their elections, but are these real elections? Or are these all rigged?
No, it went badly. You know, for a while after 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed, it was somewhat freer. The media, at least, was not controlled, so people could express their views and things like that. But after the year 2000, where President Putin was elected, who is a former KGB officer, it all went backwards. The media was stifled very quickly. The independent channels were closed down or confiscated. The newspapers, many of them, were closed. Some people were driven out of the country. We again have political prisoners. We didn't have them for several years under Yeltsin. Now we again have several dozens of political prisoners.
All right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 464-8295. Our guest is Vladimir Bukovsky. And, of course, he had the unique opportunity of going through the Soviet archives there and, of course, finding so much of the information there. He can read Russian, of course, being Russian, and, of course, with a scanner and with a portable computer, was able, of course, to get this information. And you'll read what Gorbachev was saying to the representatives of the Trilateral Commission and similar things. All sorts of fascinating information you'd never get elsewhere. As you present this to the British people, what sort of response are you getting?
Well, we are going to have official launching of it in 3 days at the House of Commons, at the Parliament building. We are not addressing the Parliament, we are not members of it, but we are using the space, so to speak, and we will try to get as many members of Parliament to attend as we can. It all depends on how successful we are in this launching. At the moment, the book, although it's printed already, it didn't get a wide distribution yet. But after this presentation, we actually hope that the demand will be growing and the media might pick up on some stories we put into this book.
Well, I hope we can, of course, get the book out here in the United States, and we'll do everything we can to help, because I think the information is so vitally important to understand that this was all slam dunk. This was 20 years ago. This was all planned. Gorbachev was planning on the European Union. Why would Gorbachev want to unite Europe? But, of course, I'm going to let you tell why Gorbachev wants this, just as every one of the socialists want this.
Well, the socialists always wanted to get Europe because... they needed the industrial, technical potential of Europe. Russia, when the communists came to power, was an agricultural country. It was underdeveloped. And Lenin, Stalin, Khrushchev, all in their time, were dreaming how to get Europe to integrate it into Soviet Union. And they failed because of, in the later dates, after World War II, because of NATO, because of American presence. That's why Americans became enemy number one for the Soviets. They wanted Americans out of Europe, you know. So they always were dreaming on it, how to unite Europe together with themselves under socialism. And in the last period of Soviet existence, that became possible. Suddenly, because the Soviet Union became more open, there was glasnost, there was perestroika, if you remember the terms, it ceased to be an enemy. So everyone became friends, and the agenda was changing. Of course, if not the agreement with the European left, it would have been difficult to turn the entire Europe into a socialist system. But with their help and with their very active participation, that became possible.
And you know, I think it's really so interesting that with the help of American financing now, of course, much of the gas that is used, natural gas that is used in Europe, comes from the Soviet Union, which makes Europe increasingly dependent upon Russia today. And if they turn the natural gas off, why, an awful lot of people would freeze. So now, this is a slow process, but America has been pushing this all along. This is what people really have to understand. This is not happening by accident. Would that be a fair statement?
Of course it's not an accident. But a lot of American politicians simply don't understand what's happening in Europe. Look, George Bush just came to Europe. He made a speech yesterday in Brussels at the heart of European Union. He did not mention that the European Union is hostile by definition to American interests. He actually expressed some kind of benevolent indifference to these things, as if saying, well, it's your business, not ours. And for Christ's sake, it's going to be everybody's business if Europe becomes socialist, if it becomes very kind of bureaucratized, and its economy will degenerate further and further. It would be everybody's business.
All right, well, let's go to Ed, who's calling from Calgary. Ed, did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Stan. What a wonderful guest you have, and a good evening to you, sir.
Good evening.
I was born in East Berlin, June the 9th, 1945, so you can imagine with your history that I was born in ground zero of...
Yeah.
Anyway, I wish I could talk for half an hour, but I won't. I just have one question for you, and it's a phrase that keeps coming to mind and just sticks there now. I define socialism as death by a thousand cuts. And I think Dr. Stan will pick that one up.
All right, I think it was O'Brien who said to Winston Smith in George Orwell's 1994, socialism is a boot stamping out a human face forever. How would you respond to what Ed said?
Well, yes, I mean, socialism is total indifference to human life, to human individual. It's kind of a refusal to recognize that we individuals have our conscience, our free will. It's complete denial of freedom of view of the people. They believe that people are masses which are supposed to be governed, manipulated as a part of their class games, you know, these kind of things. The communism in particular, but socialism in general, does not recognize the sovereignty of individual consciousness.
And I think that's exactly what it is. It's the loss of all freedom. A boot stamping on a human face.
You just defined what's happening in Canada. But thank you very much for taking this call, Dr. Stan.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you.
But again, you too. Bye-bye, Ed. Okay, fine. Well, of course, Canada's a little further along than we are, but we're moving rapidly towards a socialist America and being pushed by the Republican Party. Traditionally, it was the Democrats, but now we have, I believe, here in America, bipartisan treason. But the important thing is what's happening in Europe, because they're way ahead of us. And if Europe goes into the European Union, of course, well, the freedom of the people of Europe will be lost forever. And of course, if England goes in, why, of course, this great experiment in democracy that, or in freedom, that goes back to the time of the Magna Carta, will simply be lost forever. And of course, my understanding is that you've had some votes over there where the people, at least in the effort of the way of voting for regionalism, have repudiated that, haven't they?
Yeah, well, there is a movement, all kind of groups springing up in Britain, and people are trying to oppose it. But of course, they're banned from main media. I mean, the television wouldn't pick up on anything we're saying. Television will be mostly pro-European Union, particularly such big organizations like BBC, who are supposed to be impartial, and yet they are blatantly violating their own charter and practically become a broadcasting branch of European Union.
We have the same thing here with the public broadcasting system, National Public Radio. They are simply extensions of the government, of course, but the average individual doesn't understand that, or I should say of the socialist system. They may be critical of the government, but they're all pushing socialism. Well, we're just about 2 minutes before I have to let you go. What's your parting thought for our listeners today? Why is it so important that they get your book? Because I think it's important. But why... How can we convince them they need to have this information?
Well, in order to understand what's going on today, you have to usually have to look about 20 years before to know exactly the facts, to use the secret information or documents or whatever, because without knowing what's happening, what was decided 20 years ago, you would never understand the meaning of events today. And your decisions, and you have to make decisions in democracy, would always be misguided. You have to know, you have to learn. That's a very important part of democratic process.
And, of course, what was it, George Santayana, who said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
Yep.
All right, fine. Well, the book is EUSSR, EUSSR. And, of course, it is pointing to the fact that this was planned a long time ago. First of all, to unite Europe, then to incorporate Russia. And it is part of this grand scheme, and interestingly enough, the Trilateral Commission. Our leaders seem to be creating a counter to America's power and influence. Why would you do that? Well, our suggestion is there is another agenda. God bless you. Thank you so very much. It's always a pleasure having you here on Radio Liberty.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Jimmy Lee McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, What Really Happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, What Really Happened.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I do hope that many of you out there will want to get some of the information we have. We have a four-tape set called The Secret Government. There's a 2 hours of my commentary and interview with Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, who wrote the book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. A four-tape set called The Secret Societies, and it has in it a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America, my talk, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and then a two-hour commentary on how all of the elections have been rigged, going back to the election of Alf Landon, which many of you may not even remember, but I'm old enough to remember the election in 1936 when Alf Landon was run, you know, just as, well, we had to have somebody running against FDR, but to give the idea that we had a two-party system, and in the year 1940, they brought in London Wilkie. He was a lifelong Democrat who re-registered Republican just a couple of weeks before the primaries so that there would be an opposition. We have a one-party system, and it's about time people began to understand that, and it is all controlled by what I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you've not yet read my book, shame on you. You need to get it. You need to understand how this works and the spiritual forces which are at work behind everything that is going on today. This is all moving us towards a world government. A lot of Christians think, oh, well, I'm going to be whisked out of here before anything bad happens. But what does it say that in the Bible? God brings terrible judgment upon nations that have turned against him. And he talks even about Laodicea in the latter days. And neither hot nor cold. Could that be America for today? Well, there's much that makes me believe that that we are the Laodicea of modern times, the nation that's had been so richly rewarded and turned against God. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 for our tape sets. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Vladimir Bukovsky. He's one of the leaders of this movement over in Great Britain, and how fortunate we are to have a man with his background known throughout all of Europe, known throughout all of Russia, a man who's had the courage to stand against the tyranny of socialism in Russia, and now he sees it coming to Europe and sees it being imposed upon Great Britain. And believe me, these people don't care how the people vote. These people are wicked and evil. They create wars and revolutions and epidemics and all sorts of terrible, terrible things, you know, simply to further their goal. 21 million people died in World War I, which they created. Between 50 and 60 million died in World War II. You know, in fact, we never even talk about the million South Vietnamese and the 2 million North Vietnamese died in Vietnam. We're concerned about our 58,000 boys, and rightly so, but are the Vietnamese any less human than the Americans? Do they feel pain any less than we do? You have to understand, everything is manipulated. Our reality is manipulated. And it's time you begin to break free from the media, which is controlled by these same wicked people. First of all, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, it's available through Radio Liberty. You can get the book or the video or the audio tapes or get them all together. We hope you will. And if you want to get a full case of the books, and of course we can make this offer only until we've sold out the number of cases, we've well over halfway to our goal, that we can provide you with 62 copies of Brotherhood of Darkness for a price of $124 plus shipping. That's $124 for 62 copies, $2 a copy. And of course, we do this because we're getting a large printing and we can get the price way down. After that, why, the price is going to go back to $12.95, and it'll stay there unless, of course, you get a lot of copies, but you'll never get another offer like this. I think it's an excellent tool to give to people who are skeptical, because it has the documentation, and if they'll check out the documents, many of which we have, many of which are available on the internet, many of which are available in the library, why, they'll come to the conclusion that I have, and that is we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, we hope that you'll tell others if they'd like to get a case of books, get them. Well, as I say, we're over halfway sold, over half of those that we will have available for sale. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet, on one or another network. You can pull down our archive programs. You can note the things we have for sale. And incidentally, we do carry the Big Berkey, or the Berkey Light water filters. If you get them to us, why, you'll get a 4-tape set or a video that we've actually produced. And then, of course, we hope that you will tell others about our programs. You'll encourage them to listen as well. We do have the offer. We'll be glad to give you a free copy of see our November newsletter, which will tell you how they're poisoning your children with fluoride, or our January newsletter, which, of course, goes into the background of Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and how the world really works, not how you're told it works, but how it really works, and why so many leaders of countries throughout the world, they meet mysterious deaths, why their plane explodes or they get assassinated, as happened in this last 2 weeks. The president of Georgia just happened to suffocate. I mean, one of the most powerful men in the world, and he's got a leaky gas heater in his apartment. Do you really believe that? And then the former premier of Lebanon, he just happens to get blown up. And well, it's happened to so many people. Even many of our congressmen and senators have met very strange deaths. Well, we just hope that you'll want to begin understanding behind all of this our dark and sinister spiritual forces. We have some great new video, great new videos. Nundare College Genocide, the new video, which of course is a Bill Sardi's expose of the drug industry, our new 4-tape set on vaccine aim, on 9-1-1 update, our 4-tape set on certainly going into the background of 9-1-1 update, of course, what's going on today. So give us a new 4-tape set on fluoride. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.